Good evening. Good to see you this evening. This would be such a terribly boring service if you were not here. So thank you for being here. It's been a good night. It's been a wonderful music, as always. We appreciate it very much. And we thank you so much for your... we love this church. We feel at home here. We appreciate the fellowship here, the friendships that we've made, and your hospitality. You're very welcoming to us. You may not like us, but it doesn't show, so that's a blessing. And we appreciate it very much. We thank you for letting us bring our book table and for comments, positive, some feedback we've gotten about the devotions. All these things are really encouraging to my heart. And again, thank you for letting us hang around, be in the apartments, nice apartment. We really like it. Thanks for all the munchies, all the snacks, all the health food. We appreciate that. My wife eats the stuff that's healthy and I eat the rest. So anyway, it's just been a blessed time. We've been encouraged, and we pray for your church often, and we appreciate your prayers for us. And it's always a blessing to be with Pastor and Mrs. Custer. They're dear friends of ours and have been for a long time, and we treasure their friendship and the family as well, the children, just to see, and the grandchildren, just sitting there watching Aaron and Melissa's kids, how they've grown, and we just appreciate Ethan and Rachel and Wade and what's her name? Emily. Yeah. Been friends for a long time, so we thank you very much. Our plan is, Lord willing, is to head south as soon as this service is over. No offense, of course, but so the message will be about 12 and a half minutes if I have it planned right. And no, we've been blessed. We're going to be in Psalms again as we begin tonight, Psalm 77, and again, we just really appreciate you, appreciate your church. You are the church, those of you who are here that are members, and we appreciate you very, very much. We're going to look at a passage tonight. We'll read a good portion of this psalm, but we're going to begin at the end of the psalm, which kind of introduces the title, the theme of the message. And if you're able to stand, would you stand with us for the reading of the scripture, and we'll then have prayer. But verse 19 begins this way: "Thy way is in the sea." And that's really, if I was titling the message, that's what I would title it: "Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known." Now, that's a very interesting description of God's ways. It's not always easy to really see God's plan. It's not always easy to know His ways. "Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known." So let's pray as we begin. Father, we thank you again for this opportunity, Lord, to be here. And Lord, you know how thankful we are, Lord, for many friends in this room, and Father, for the fellowship that we have together. And we thank you for the encouragement that we've received this evening through the music. And Lord, just thinking about what it will be like one day when we lay our burdens down and Lord, see and sing and rejoice in the fact that it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. And we thank you for that hope tonight. And Father, would you just bless tonight, help me as we go through the scripture, Lord, to do what you'd have me to do, to be what you'd have me to be. And our confidence is not in ourselves, but it's in this wonderful word, this revelation from God, that you would help us with the word of God. And we pray for that tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thy way, the psalmist says, thy way is in the sea. Now, God's way is what we want. That's what we desire. We want His way. In life, we want His way. The word, you know, the word way, the Hebrew word is translated way here, is really has the same definition, the same idea as the Greek word is translated way in the New Testament, where Jesus said, "I am the way." The word way means a road. It's not just a manner like His way. It's a road, it's a path, it's a journey, it's a course in life. And that's what we want. We want God's way. We want to be on the path He wants us to be on. We want to be on the road He has planned for us. Now that involves decisions, it involves choices, but God promises to bless our journey if we're in the way. You know, I think about the servant of Abraham that went looking for a bride for Isaac, and he traveled hundreds of miles to find the one person that God wanted for Isaac to be married to. And he said this about his journey: "I being in the way, the Lord led me." He was in the way and God led him. And so God has a will for every one of us, and He has a journey and a path for every one of us. And in all of these things, in our decisions, and not just the decisions we make, but the timing of those decisions, we want to be where God wants us to be at the right time. And He promises to bless that. That very famous Proverbs chapter 3, where it talks about the fact that if we'll trust in the Lord with all thine heart, remember that, and lean not into thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That God Almighty will direct our paths. And so we want His way. And it stands to reason that the more serious a decision is made, the more we need His direction. And every decision does not carry the same weight. You know, it's important what restaurant we go to, but it's not, at the end of the day, it'll be okay. And my wife, and I'm thinking about a time this has happened in every marriage probably, been married any length of time at all. And so we're driving along. We happen to be in St. Louis. I think we're visiting a hospital or something, and it's time to get something to eat. And so I asked her, "What would you like to eat?" And she says, "It doesn't matter." And so I asked her another time, and it still doesn't matter. So I pulled into a Burger King. She didn't like that. So that's not the kind of decision, you know, you make the right decision, but it's not going to be life-altering if you go to the wrong restaurant. But the more important decisions we make, the more we need to know we're in the right way. You know, when it comes to making decisions about even your employment or making a major purchase or, you know, buying a home or changing a job, all these things, being in the right church, all these things, we want to be right where the Lord wants us to be. And this particular passage has a special place in my heart because I used this passage to speak to our church family when we were discussing our transition out of the pastorate, because that's a big decision for us. It's a big decision for my wife and I. It's a big decision for our church. You know exactly how that is. And I used this passage because it was a passage that really gave me a lot of hope. God's way may not always be crystal clear, but He does have a path. He does have a way. And this lesson is really kind of what this is about. And you know, just kind of give you a little testimony, because I know your church is in this place, you know, seeking God's direction, and I empathize with that and pray for y'all often about that. And God's got a plan. And so I, just to kind of rehearse this, though, for you for about our place, before we ever talked to the church about this, this is a big decision. My wife and I talked about it a lot. Matter of fact, before she and I ever talked about it, I thought about it a lot. She'll remember this. We were in somebody else's company, me and her, and I think it was another preacher, his wife or maybe whatever. And somebody asked me, this was back in 2018, 2019. They said, "Do you ever think about retiring?" And she's nodding her head. And I said, every day of my life. And she looked at me like, what do you think? But you know, this is a big decision. You think about these things and you want to make sure it's right. You want to make sure the timing is right. So you pray much about these things. And so that's kind of how the whole thing started. And we actually started talking about it in 2019. And in our church, we started talking about it. But then COVID came, and I knew that was not the right time. I still believe it was God's plan eventually, but I didn't think it was the right time. So after COVID, we resumed our discussions. And the point being, we needed God's way. We wanted God's way. And that's true of all of us. We want God's way for our life. And just look at the verse again. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. So let's just look at this psalm together for a little bit tonight and think about what was going on in the life of the psalmist as he wrote these words, as he wrote this song or this poem. And to do that, let's go up close to the top of the psalm, Psalm 77, and just look at, let's just hit some important highlights in this psalm. In verse 2 it says, in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. Now, this is not just someone writing, you know, some kind of a dramatic story, you know, kind of some kind of a fictitious story. No, this is a person who's writing from the experience of their life. And when he says there, my soul refused to be comforted, and I was in a time of trouble, and I sought the Lord, we can really assume that he was going through a difficult time in his life. And he continues to write about this. Verse 3, I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. And he says in verse 4, thou holdest mine eyes waking. He couldn't sleep. He was losing sleep because of what he was going through. I'm so troubled that I cannot speak. And so he's just expressing here the sorrow, the grief, the difficulty that he was going through. And it was really a time of soul searching. It says in verse 5, I've considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. He's having this soul-searching, grievous, difficult, troubling experience in his life. And he really started questioning some things about God's character. And I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I just want to, again, just get in our mind what he was going through. Verse 7 and following, let's look there with me if you would, please. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is God going to quit being favorable and good? Has he cast us off? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. Pause. Think about this. I mean, he's just writing about this difficult place he's in emotionally. He's having some serious internal conversations. Where is God? Where is God at this time? Why is God not answering? It's a great conflict. And really, he's struggling with the character, the faithfulness of God. And that's really not a healthy place to be, right? I mean, that's really where he is. And his soul is very, very troubled. And beginning in verse 10, he says, And I said, this is my infirmity. This is my weakness. This is my difficulty. This is where I am. But he says, I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. He's looking back. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God? Is our God. So he's just looking back and remembering about God's work in the past. By the way, there's something really good about that. Sometimes when you can't really see what's going on in your present, you can think back about how God has been good in the past. And that's not the only time you see this in the Scripture. We see it in other places as well. It's just good. It's a good practice sometimes to remember how God has come through in the past, how God has been there for us in difficult times. And these words are describing in his life a serious, difficult, troubling time. But it's a reminder to us that God's people go through times like this. It's not abnormal. It's not unusual. We're not the only ones that's ever happened to. And it's not, you know, people may look at trials and say, well, there must be sin in their life or they must be in rebellion. No, sometimes it may just be something that God is allowing us to go through. And it's not always because of sin. There are too many examples in the Bible. Think about Joseph when he was in the Egyptian jail. He wasn't there because of his disobedience. He was there because he had seen something God had shown him. And as a result of this dream and these visions and the jealousy of his brothers, he ended up there. Think about David in the cave at En Gedi when he was there. One of the saddest places in the Bible, because he had left Jerusalem because his son Absalom had betrayed him and really stole the kingdom. And there's such a vivid picture of him walking out of Jerusalem weeping, sadly walking away from the place that he had served. It was a very sad, sad time. Or even think about Job. We mentioned him the other day and the great trials that he had. I'm just saying these words don't just describe what happened to the psalmist. It happens to God's people sometimes. And so that's really what's going on. That's just kind of a snapshot of what's happening in Psalm 77. And in that context, in verse 19, the writer says, "Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known." Now, the first thing I take away from that is, you know, God's way is not always clear. It's not always evident. It's not always as obvious as the handwriting on the wall was. God's ways are not it's a path. God has a path, but it's sometimes not easy to find, or it's difficult to navigate. When I look at this, look in verse 19, "Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known." His path is in the waters, and his footsteps are not known. I mean, you know, I'm not a great tracker, you know. I'd never make a good scout. I couldn't follow. But you can't hardly follow people who are walking through the water. And that's really what that's a picture of. My mind goes back to when I was a kid, my dad would watch these old westerns. And if the guys are running away from the sheriff, he'd get into a little creek or something and run down the water because you can't trail him through that. And that's really what this is a picture of. How do you follow somebody through the water? And that's what God, his ways are not always crystal clear, and sometimes they're not easily seen. And you know, there's a verse in Proverbs. Let's go turn to this for a moment. Proverbs 25. There was a time in my life, a particular time in my life, when this verse really became very dear to me, and it still is. But when I just needed direction, I just wanted to know something, and I didn't know. In Proverbs 25 and verse 2, it says, "It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings to search out a matter." So sometimes God conceals things, and it's for his own glory. Sometimes it's the glory of God to conceal a thing. Now, God's not playing hide and seek with us. But it is his glory sometimes to make things where it's not real obvious. And what is the purpose of verse 2? The honor of kings is to search out a matter, because that just sets us, our
our responsibility is to seek God and search for God to give us the direction. And God, I believe God will do that. He will make a way, even back to Psalm 77, even in the sea. God can make a way even in the sea. There's a reference in verse 16. We didn't read verse 16 of Psalm 77. It says, "The waters saw thee, O God, the waters saw thee, they were afraid, the depths also were troubled." And that very likely is a reference to the Red Sea or the Jordan River. The waters saw thee. As a matter of fact, there's a similar verse. I'm going to turn to it, Psalm 114, and in case you'd like to look at this, Psalm 114. This specifically is talking about their exit from Egypt. When Israel went out of Egypt, Psalm 114:1, when Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of strange language, Judah was his sanctuary and Israel his dominion. The sea, here's the similar language, the sea saw it and fled. The Red Sea, the sea saw it and fled. Jordan was driven back. So look in verse 5. "What ailed thee, O thou sea, that thou fleddest? Thou Jordan, that thou wast driven back?" So God, you know, back to this subject of Psalm 77, God has a way. And even if it's through the Red Sea, even if it's through the Jordan River, God has a way. God can get His will done. God wants us to know what His will is. And so here's a place, you know, in this psalm where the psalmist is going through a very difficult time, wondering where God is. Why has God failed to be kind to me? But then he had this anchor, was this, that God has a way, and His way is in the sea. And, you know, what can be really more disconcerting than being in the water, being in a sea, or being in a troubled place? You know, Jesus and His disciples more than once were in a troubled sea, weren't they? And what did He prove? You know, that's not really no match for His power. It's no match for His glory. And they were amazed at Him. You know, what manner of man is this? He has His way. God has His way. Nahum, I love there's a verse in Nahum where it says, "The Lord has His way in the whirlwind and in the storm." He has His way. And that's talking about a hurricane or a tornado. He has His way. And so the reality is that even in these difficult times, even in these dark times, even in these times when His way is not evident, God still has a way. And you know what He wants us to do? More than anything else, what is it that pleases God more than any other thing? And the answer is when we trust Him. When we trust Him. There's something more important to God even than me, you know, even than me knowing exactly what He wants to do today, and that is I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to rely upon Him. You know, God is pleased with that. He wants us to lean on Him. It would be much easier for me. I will tell you straight up. It would be much easier for me if there would be at night a pillar of fire that I could see that would clearly lead me, and in the daytime a cloud that I could see, and all I had to do was just follow the cloud. Wouldn't that be sweet? But that's not the way it is for us. God wants us to trust Him. He wants us to rely upon Him. And by the way, just for you younger people, you might think that, well, once I get older, once I get real old, like 30 or 40 years old, then it won't be as challenging or difficult for me to always know what God's will is about a matter. But I'm going to tell you now, I'm a little over 30 or 40, but it amazes me that even at this age, still I find myself saying, "Lord, exactly what is it You want to do in this situation?" And you know why that happens? It's not, I may be a slow learner, but it's not just because I'm a slow learner. It's because God wants me to trust Him. God wants me to rely upon Him. God wants me to seek Him. It's the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search it out. God is pleased when we do that. And so God can make a way, a path, even when we cannot see it. God can make a way and a path. And our job is not even to know what every day may bring or every moment may bring, but our job is to trust the one who has his way and has a path in the sea, even as his footsteps are not known to us. Now let's go back, if we could, to Psalm 77, and maybe you're still there. I want to read the last two verses again. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. But notice this last verse. Thou ledest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. So what that tells me is even in, just look in the whole context, even in a difficult time, even in a dark time, a troubled time, troublesome time, when we can't even see necessarily where the path is going, we can know that God is working, and you know what? He will faithfully lead his people. That's the great comfort and assurance I have, and that was the assurance I gave our church when we didn't even have a single person to consider as who would be the pastor after me. But I assured them that God, it may be that we can't see it right now. We couldn't see it right then, but God is committed to leading his people. I mean, it's a good example of it there in verse 20. Thou ledest thy people like a flock, and God will lead his people. He's not only capable of leading us, he's committed to leading us. He is careful and committed to help us. He's our shepherd. We sing that song, he leadeth me, O blessed thought, and it is a blessed thought that God himself is committed to leading us. But and we can think about a lot of ways he leads us, but we're not going to think all of them because I'm in a hurry to leave. So but one way he leads us is through his word. God's word leads us. We can trust him. If we'll follow the principles of the word of God, God can lead us. God can direct us. And he leads us by his spirit. Jesus assured the disciples, when I leave, the comforter is going to come and he's going to indwell you. And one of the things he's going to do, he's going to guide us into all truth. That's what Jesus said. But then in the book of Romans, Paul wrote that if we have he leads us, if you don't have his leadership, you don't have the Spirit of God in your life, one of the evidences he's with us is he guides us. He leads us. We thank God for that. God has not left us without direction, without hope, without direction. But he also uses human instruments to lead us. That's one of the things I see here in verse 20. Thou ledest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. He uses people. He uses parents. Children, one of the ways God is going to lead you is through your parents. Your parents are given by God to help you, to give direction to you, to help you know what the Father's will is and what's best for you. He uses spiritual leaders. He uses pastors. He uses people to help us know the will of God. He uses his word. He uses the word preached. He uses the word as we read it and we meditate upon it. God uses his word, and he uses his servants. He'll use other people to help us know the will of God. You know, I think sometimes God's way is hard to find sometimes. But I think it's even made more difficult because sometimes maybe we're not sensitive to the ways that God wants to lead us and say, well, that couldn't have been the Lord. You know, maybe it was the Lord. For whatever reason, I was just thinking about a time, thinking about this, my wife and I, well, I was thinking about going to this conference. We lived outside of St. Louis, and we're going to go to this conference. And the conference, me and a couple of buddies, we're going to go to this conference, and it was over in Kansas City. The weather was horrible. And my wife advised that we not go. You ought to think about this. Which means what? Now I'm going for sure. No. Sure enough, We drove, before we got to Interstate 70, we were driving in about, 4 or 5 inches of snow, and we get up to the interstate to go west toward Kansas City. The interstate is closed. So what did I do? We took the service road, the outer road. It was horrible. Hours later. We took us several hours to go 4 miles. And that's from running into snowbanks and getting out and pushing. And one of our guys, he was not in the best of shape. He was just finally just laid out in the back seat. He couldn't even walk. Finally, after many hours, we get to the exit. And what do you think we did? We didn't go to Kansas City. The point is, I think maybe I should have listened to my wife, right? She was actually helping me make a wise decision. Sometimes we ignore people in ways that God is trying to help us know His will, but if we're not recognizing that, we may miss God's way. That's not complicated. God uses people. And, I just want to encourage us today to know this, that God has a way. God has a way. God hadn't forgotten about us. He has a way. It may not be evident. It may not be that we haven't figured it all out yet, but we can be confident the God who gave us His Word is committed to leading His people. And I thank God for that. And I just want to, first of all, encourage us in that regard, and we want to be sensitive to what He has for us. He wants to give His flock direction, and our job is to trust Him. And it's not just, it's not just trusting your husband or your wife, in my case there. It's not just trusting your pastor or your mom or dad. It's trusting God to lead people. God, I pastored for 41 years in the same place, and I'm not infallible. I made mistakes. I'm sure this, but I had one thing. My interest was I want to help my people, our people, to know the will of God. And when they come to me, I'm not just going to give them my opinion. I'm going to tell them what I believe God's Word says about that, and how you know what I'm saying. And that God wants to lead us. God wants to help us, and we're trusting in the Lord. Some people might hear that and think, well, you think you're really something because you're giving people direction. No, God uses leaders to help people. That's the way God works. And we'd be very foolish not to recognize that. I wrote this verse down as I was going through my notes today in Acts chapter 20, where Paul met with the elders, that's the pastors, the elders of the church at Ephesus, and this is what he said to them. This was his final meeting with these people on his way to Jerusalem. He said, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which is purchased with His own blood." And he's just telling these pastors to watch out for the flock, take care of the flock, take the oversight of the flock. And the whole point is this, just like he led the people here in verse 20, God wants to lead us, and we can be certain that He wants to lead us in His ways. And you're in Psalm 77. Turn to the left a little bit to Psalm 25. Just a couple of references about this. Psalm 25 and verse 4. This is a verse that I have just really found a lot of comfort in. He says, "Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths." God wants to show us His ways. We can ask Him, "Lord, show us your ways." Just flip the page maybe, or look across the page to Psalm 27. Here's a prayer that I have prayed over and over in my life. Psalm 27 and verse 11. "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies." God wants us to, we can ask Him to lead us. We can trust Him for that. "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not." We can ask God to guide us, to give us wisdom. As a matter of fact, we ought to ask God to give us wisdom, but the writer of Proverbs also says, "Cease from your own wisdom." I think that's a good reminder sometimes. Cease from your wisdom, ask God for His wisdom. And so let's go back to Psalm 77 and we'll wrap this up. I read over this verse, but I'm going to go back to it. In verse 13, it says this. Same psalm, keep in mind the context of the psalm. Verse 13, "Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God?" God, what did he say down in verse 19? "Your way is in the sea." It's hard sometimes to know it. And what? How do you reconcile that with that verse that says, "Thy way is in the sanctuary"? The sanctuary generally refers in the Old Testament to the temple, the house of God. And I think, and by the way, what makes the temple such a sacred place, the house of God? It's not because of the structure, it's because the person who occupies it. It's because of God. It's the house of God. And what he's saying is God's way, if you can get close to God, God will help you know his way. God's way is in the sanctuary. The sanctuary of God is where God is. It goes back to that thing we emphasized the other day. If we'll draw near to him, the more we'll seek to follow him, the more we'll know his way. And so God wants us to know his way. And I just want to encourage you to keep seeking the Lord and trusting the Lord. And God's way is not always, you know, it's not always as clear as we'd like for it to be. But if we'll trust him and ask him, it's amazing how he can make his will and his way to be known. And I want to say this. Sometimes God's way, God's will, God's path is what I would say is incremental. He doesn't give us always the end. Sometimes we have to take steps in that direction. I'll give you an example. In Acts chapter 9, we have the record of the conversion of Saul of Tarsus on the way to Damascus, and he met the Lord, and he was converted. And the prayer that he prayed is a prayer that many of us would remember. He said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" You remember this? Very simple prayer. What do you want me to do? And the answer, though, I think is very enlightening. The answer came from the Lord. "I want you to go into town, arise." First he said arise, very detailed. "Arise, go into town, and it'll be told you what to do." Isn't that something? That's not what I wanted. I want more details. I want to know about next month, next year. No, you just do what you know to do today. Arise, go into town, and it'll be told you what to do. And I think there's really a lot of wisdom in that. You know, while we may be waiting on God to show us what he wants us to do down the road, we need to be doing today what God wants us to do. Right? Until we know the long haul, the long answer, let's keep doing the things we know we're supposed to. Keep loving your family. Keep serving the Lord. Keep reading the Word. Keep preaching and sharing the gospel. Keep loving God. Keep loving each other. Keep pursuing holiness. Keep following God's will. And you know what? I find that as I go back to that servant of Abraham, I being in the way, the Lord led me. I was doing what I knew to be doing in God's will, and God led me to more clear direction of his will. And so sometimes God's will is incremental. He opens it up a little bit at a time. And if we're not doing the first part, we're not going to get the last part. Does that make sense to you? Yeah, if we're not, if Saul of Tarsus would have said, "No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go into town, you know, until you tell me what's next," he'd have still been sitting there, right? Right. Do what we know to do. And trust God to lead us. I'm confident that God wants to lead his people. He wants to lead us. And I thank God, and I'm not doing this to brag on a person, but I thank God for the leadership of this church that it's had for the last however many years with Pastor Custer, 30 years or whatever. Thank God for that. And it's been evident. It's been evident to me. I know it's been evident to you. And it's because God uses people. God uses people. And don't miss that. I mean, don't disregard that. God leads us through people. He leads us through His Word. He leads us through the principles of His Word. He leads us through the promises of His Word. He leads us as His Spirit is with us. And God wants to continue to lead this church. And I'm not trying to give you a pep talk, but I'm just trying to say, be confident that even though the way may not be as clear as you'd like for it to be right now, or do what you know to do, keep obeying the Lord, keep trusting the Lord and praying, and God's going to lead you. I believe that with all of my heart, that God's going to lead you. Amen? And that's a blessing. That's a blessing of being a child of God. We're not in this for ourselves. God didn't just put us down here, and He didn't make us robots. He didn't make us where we just automatically do everything exactly right. No, He wants us to trust Him and ask Him and follow Him and obey Him and let Him lead us the way He is. His Word says He will lead us. Let Him lead us. And God wants to do that. So His way is in the sea, and His path in the great waters, and His footsteps are not known, but He will lead His people like a flock. And I believe that. Amen? I believe that. Let's stand together, please. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Maybe tonight you're in a place in your life where you just really need direction. Maybe something in your personal life. Maybe something in your family. Maybe something in your vocational life, your vocational world. Maybe a big decision you've got to make. Tonight, let's just trust. Let's ask God to lead us. Let's trust God to lead us. Let's look for God's guidance. Let's not be frustrated or give up, like the psalmist seemed to be on the brink of when he said, "Has God forgotten to be good?" Let's not jump to those conclusions. Let's just trust the Lord. It pleases Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. Our Father, as we pray, Lord, this evening, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for these principles in Your Word that help us. We know these words were written by a real person who had real problems and real trouble, and they're penned and recorded for us as the inspired Word of God. And they're written for our admonition. And Father, tonight we just pray, God, that You would be able to guide us. Father, Your ways are perfect. Who are we to question Your ways? Who are we to complain if it doesn't always seem as clear as we want it to be or we wish that it was? We thank You for Your own will and way that You've chosen, that it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the honor of kings to search it out. God, we want to know Your will and do Your will. In the little things and the big things, we want to know Your will and do Your will. While our heads are bowed and folks are praying this evening, and while the piano plays, maybe tonight God has spoken to your heart. Maybe tonight, like, you just want to spend a little time in prayer there at your seat or here at this altar. Just seeking the Lord, seeking Him with confidence that He wants to lead. He is leading. You may not see it. We may not see it. Ask the Lord to help you to see it. Lord, help me to see the ways You're showing us, leading us. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you're not sure you're saved, you have doubts about your relationship to the Lord, we're here to help you. You could just
quietly slip out to the aisle and come forward. We'll meet you here. Somebody will talk with you, pray with you. Leadeth me, O blessed thought.
So glad that God never fails and that He will not abandon His people. I love Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, which says, "Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward." And the very next verse, 36, says, "For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." And the Bible says in James chapter 1 to let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You won't lack anything, apparently, in your Christian experience if you become a person who learns to wait on the Lord and trust Him and live with patience. You have need of patience. It's a wonderful truth that God never fails and He never gives up. He never loses control. He always knows exactly what He's trying to do, what He desires to do. God always has a way. God always has a plan. We don't see it, and that's hard for us. Verse 38 in that same chapter says, "Now the just shall live by faith." He just wants us to trust Him. Look to the Lord for the answers that we can't see right now. Not to cast away our confidence. He's still God. Look this way just a moment, please. Do you have some issues in your life that puzzle you, that frustrate you, that cause you to doubt and fear because there doesn't seem to be a way out? God has a way. God has a way in the sea. Even where you can't see any answers, you can't see any solutions to the issues, the Lord still knows what's going on, and we should look to Him with confidence and faith and trust and commit our way to the Lord, because He knows the answers. And He can safely bring His people through. Amen. What a great reminder, great truth tonight, that God's in control. He doesn't necessarily show us what He's planning to do, but we can know that He's got plans to do the right thing. Amen. You ever been tempted to take matters into your own hands and try to come up with a solution yourself? Don't try that. You'll probably mess it up. Commit it to the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,